Morning, everyone. If you'd take your seats. Calling this meeting to order. It's June 1st, 2012. This is the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting. Welcome, everyone. Not the most sunny, upbeat day out there, but we really appreciate your attendance. Got some good items on the agenda. So we'll move right into item number one, which is the commissioner's discussion. Does anyone have anything to bring to the table? Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to touch on a couple apex predator things. I meant to bring it in, I forgot, but the January-February issue of Audubon Magazine had a photo celebration of the fact that wolverines are back in Washington's Cascade Mountains. And about a month ago, we got confirmation that we actually had breeding occur with wolverines up there. So I thought it was a nice positive affirmation of things being restored. And also up in the Wedge area, we've had, I think, three different adult grizzlies and two cubs identified in the past month. So that has sort of put the head of grizzlies factor into our predator-prey equation. And what does grizzly bear recovery look like? Now that they're actually here, well, I think we need to start talking with them. Sticking with apex predators and wolves, I was wondering if we could, and I'm looking at Director Anderson, I've heard there's a few challenges getting data exchanged between the counties and our agency on the wolf sightings. I don't know if that's true or not, but if you could look into that and let us know. Being able to transfer data back and forth between the county governments and our agency on wolf sightings.
Good.
Director Anderson?
Would it a little bit more about what county? We've been working closely, in particular with Okanagan Ferry and Stevens County, in pulling together a database, a common database, been working with Commissioner Duvia on that. And when I was in Colville here a couple of weeks ago, had one of the county commissioners, Don Deschiel, was there during our meeting with livestock operators, and we were commenting on our new collaboration on data entry and our ability to share data and have it go into a common database. So if there's a particular, if you have a little bit more particulars on the issue that.
So I heard this all third hand, and what I heard was the same county as you're talking about, so maybe my information was wrong. I had heard that there was good discussions going on, but that at a functional level, we hadn't actually achieved success on being able to exchange the data. That was what I was asking about, but again, not. There's a lot of challenges working with the state security system around IT and making data exchanges happen, so. And then the fourth thing I wanted to compliment the department on was I heard that we're helping establish at least one range rider position to deal with wolves, and I think that's excellent and a nice way to be proactive. Looking at what's been going on in other states, the question I have is, it's just the presence of a range rider in and of him or herself sufficient, or do they need to have some sort of other additional harassment tools as opposed to just their presence? And so I'm not really sure what our rules are for pre-predation harassment, but just again wanted to say I think it's a really nice step forward getting the range rider on the ground, and also looking at how do we make that program effective. Do we need to augment the tool set they have? But that's more of a question than a.
Dr. Anderson.
So we'll be providing. I've got a short update on issues associated with the implementation of our Wolf Conservation Management Plan, and we have a more detailed report on the agenda for tomorrow. And we will be. That would probably be a good time for us to continue this particular conversation.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Looking forward to it. Commissioner Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I reported this on the conference call, but I'll just very briefly mention it again. I went to a wolf management seminar in Albany, Oregon, a couple of weeks ago, and it was put on mainly by the Oregon Hunters Association, supported by a lot of conservation groups and hunting groups and so forth. And what they focused on mostly was a study that's going on in Idaho and Oregon, being carried out by University of Oregon, Oregon State University, and Ag Research Service. They have a huge number of radio collars out on both wolves and wolves, cattle, and elk to track their movements. Their satellite collars that record the location of each animal every 15 minutes. So they've got a lot of data. It's a five-year study. They're only 2 years into it, but they're learning an incredible amount of information about the interaction of those animals. Just one thing that they pointed out, and this has to do with predation on cattle, but they found that with their radio collaring, that probably only 7 to 12% of the cows that are killed by wolves are ever found. So the compensation program really isn't very effective. The cattlemen seem to be much more worried about the impact of wolves on their management, conception rates, rate of gain, use of forage, ability for the animals to move around, that sort of thing, than they are about compensation. But I bring this up that I think the department should really take note of this study. It seems to be very well organized, and they're collecting, like I say, a huge amount of data on particularly how wolves and cattle interact, and there should be more on that in the future. I will say that was it was a really interesting conference, and I think I was the only person there from Washington. It would have been good for other people to hear that information. But there'll be papers and so forth from this study coming out in the next few years.
Thank you. Commissioner Schmitten?
Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. You know, while our work is always interesting and certainly important, it's not always inspirational. And had an occasion for a duty that was assigned that was inspirational. It was chaired by Commissioner Perry, and we did the interviews for the Advisory Committee for Persons with Disability. Normally, it's chaired by Gary Duvier. It was for Region 4. We had absolutely excellent candidates. Yeah, you'll be impressed with the list, and hopefully at some point in time we can introduce these people and our recommendations to you. But if you have a chance, other commissioners, this is very worthwhile to do. Thank you.
Commissioner Perry?
Yeah, along that line, I was hoping that we would get a chance to bring that up formally and take a vote. We have a recommendation on a candidate for Region 4, and again, I would endorse Commissioner Schmitten's comments. The candidates were amazing, and but we do have one to suggest to the commission.
Okay. Let's see. We have committee reports scheduled for 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. You want to vote then?
That would be fine.
Correct.
Okay. Good. We did discuss the fact that we were going to fill those vacancies in upcoming meetings. So I think we're covered in terms of announcing to the public that we'll be making a decision. Okay. All right. Anything else? Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a very unique opportunity yesterday to travel with the director and Greg Sherrato and Brian, I apologize, I don't know his last name, but to the Chehalis Pheasant Farm. And it was a really interesting and unique experience, and I would encourage my colleagues on the commission to at some point in time visit that. It's and the gentleman, I don't know his last name again, Chris, he's a real high energy, he manages the place. This guy is an epitome of staff. That believes in what he does 24/7. He lives in a house next door with his family. If there's a crisis, he and his wife and children go out there and do what they do to solve the problem on behalf of these pheasants. It's a neat thing to watch. They actually have the process of the hens laying the eggs. They incubate the eggs, and it's a whole process, and it's done very scientifically. I was just really pleased to have a chance to do that. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Jennings.
So, Commissioner Carpenter, are you saying that we need to be aware that the department is engaged in violation of state child labor laws?
I was thinking about that, too.
No comment, David.
Clearly, we never do that. Commissioner Dubia.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I've been involved with quite a few meetings recently, and some of which was relative to the wolf population and the cattlemen, which I think I'll defer and bring it up during our wolf discussion, because they'll probably relate to what the director is going to inform to us. But also was invited to attend two sessions interfacing Northeast Washington County commissioners from Ponderay, Stevens, Ferry, and Okanagan with the U.S. Forest Service on their upcoming new forest plan that's, I think it's in its second year of development, and it's probably got a year and a half to go. And there will be some future meetings, and I'll post those, and maybe we can get some of the commissioners to attend those. It's a pretty significant impact in Northeast Washington on our wildlife and habitat and so forth, so we'll continue to stay involved with that one. Secondly, been involved with probably a half a dozen meetings trying to put together a private-public deal on the Colville Fish Hatchery, and we're getting closer. Deputy Director Storr is working with me on it. I got to your emails last night that went through. So we've got to do some refinements. I think we can get there, but we've got to cross some more I's, our T's, and dot some I's to get the legal stuff covered. But I'll just briefly share it with the full commission. As everyone probably knows, the Colville Tribe has funded the Colville Hatchery in the recent past, and it normally produces 300 to 400,000 fry. As of the first year, it's been pretty well shut down and unoperable. We put together a group with some nonprofits, wildlife groups, Washington for Wildlife as structure, and we've got the superintendents from Chewila, Colville, and Kettle, and their corresponding principals to buy into providing an educational opportunity for their high school kids. And the New Tech Skill Center in Spokane, which is a organization for outreach educational programs, is going to provide funding for 1.5 people. It'll be a biologist, and will be our primary fish manager. So we'll cover a significant part of our costs through the education process. We also got another agency that will fund us, a regular maintenance kind of person or laborer person to help support the hatchery. And we have been told we have funding for it, but we won't receive that until probably September or so forth. So we also have two major private individuals that are going to help fund any shortages of costs. A previous budget to run a hatchery, just the variable maintenance was of $114,000 a year. So between the school districts and private monies, we will, I think, be able to be operational. We have a request into Vista Power to give us the first 2 years electricity free. We haven't got some positive response when we presented it. We haven't heard for sure on it. And I'm in the process of negotiating with the fish food supplier in terms of how much he's going to contribute to the cause. So I think we will have, we've got 30 to 40 kids already requesting enrollment. It'll be a two and a half hour labs that they'll run through a program that will be at the hatchery. We have an alternative school two blocks from the hatchery, and we have a classroom there that we can use as well. The Stevens County Conservation District has a program, a curriculum put together for forestry and natural sciences. This site has about 19 acres of land, which is heavily treed in a natural environment, and we will be building a nature trail through that acreage with designated sites for learning. There are some pretty well-established exotic plants in this area. Some of it's kind of marshy. We've got two creeks that run through this. So it's a unique opportunity to provide that forestry experience and natural science experience. The Conservation District expects to have an ongoing lab there, but they will also enable it to have every sixth grade student in the county will go through this program at some time before they get through the sixth grade. We also have Trout Unlimited working with us. They just came out this last week, 10 days ago, and they want to coordinate a in-the-classroom fish experience with the hatchery. So they may provide aquariums in each classroom. They'll go through a raising process and experience to be concluded with introduction of those fish either to the hatchery or to a lake that it will be coordinated with the hatchery as well. There's a number of volunteers we've got going. We have first project we have this summer. They're going to have a class in building fish rods, and we have a skilled professional that does this sometimes in the summer for a summer job, and so we're going to see if we can't sell a number of rods. In the past, he's done this on a small scale, and he's sold these rods for $100 to $150 a rod. So whatever comes of that will be a donation to the hatchery to give us a little cushion on it. So if we can get the right terms and conditions and get the legal people happy, we will proceed further with this thing, and hopefully we will. I'll be back either on the conference call or as soon as possible. The only urgency we have, the programs really won't start till September. We have a urgency of to give at least some indication that we can make this happen to the school districts, because in June they submit their budgets for staffing and outlay of expenses. So I'll work with the director and assistant director Store on that and keep you abreast of it. But really good project. I think it's, as we've heard about other hatcheries, public, private places to go, I think this is a super way to integrate the communities, integrate leverage to us. We will pay back the department in fish rather than money. So I think we could end up with close to the same amount of fish being provided to the area up there as we had when we had it in operation. So it's a rally from the public, really, that's brought this together. So I'm encouraged at it. So if I need some help or something, I might lean on some of you other commissioners to twist the director's arm to make sure he agrees with this. I'm doing this as not as a commissioner. This is something that I went on my way to express. I'm just doing this as another volunteer. It's worthwhile, and I think we'll come up with a positive outcomes for both the department, the citizens, as well as the community. So that's very encouraging.
Terrific. I think we're starting to get the picture about how communities feel about the hatcheries in their areas. They're really important little centers of activity and voluntary commitments like Commissioner Duvius is demonstrating is really a good part of being a commissioner. So encourage the rest of you to think about the hatcheries in your areas and how we might keep them alive and functioning. Thanks. Anything else?